T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. We talk with Ira Winderman, covers the Miami Heat in the NBA for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, back in Philly, how you doing?
I am doing good, Alex, and you just about crystallized my night tomorrow, because as good as it might get, the fourth quarter's coming. And if it gets bad early, well, you know, it might not get better.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, I've had nothing but Heat fans at sunsentinel.com and Ask Ira suggesting starting lineup changes.
Ooh.
Alex, they have led at halftime every single game.
Right.
They have led at halftime for 4 consecutive games. So it always gets me how fans want to change the lineup. There is nothing wrong at the start. There is nothing wrong by the 5 they're putting out there. It's the 5 that they're finishing with, or what they have left in the tank to finish with, that's been the problem. I can't recall a series like this where literally you're sitting there through at least 24 minutes and often 36 minutes saying, okay, they're right there.
Yeah.
And then you look at the end and you're going, how did it get so lopsided so quickly?
And it's just so predictable. Like, at this point, I am conditioned to know that disappointment in the fourth quarter is coming. I don't like that feeling. Well, let me ask you an injury question, Ira.
Sure.
Josh Richardson, do you expect him to play tomorrow night? Questionable, is that the latest prognosis?
Yeah, I expect him to try, because especially in this situation, it's not like he is saving himself for anything. So I think he's going to go out and put up and give it the good fight. I know a lot of people have speculated if Josh can play, whether it be Justice Winslow or Wayne Ellington. Personally, I believe it'd be Rodney Magruder. And if it is Rodney Magruder, it might give the Heat a better defensive choice on J.J. Redick than they've been getting in this series, at least at points in the game. But they need the offense also. I mean, they're having enough trouble keeping up with this ridiculous scoring pace of the 76ers. And you take Josh Richardson out of there, and you put a Magruder in the starting lineup alongside of Tyler Johnson, and that's going to put you in a tough spot. Even if Justice Winslow in there is not going to answer for the threat that Josh gives you, he's going to try. If this was more games coming, I think he might say, hey, I want to get healthy. Like that one game he skipped this season, I believe it was in Portland, when he says, I knew I couldn't help my team. But I think Eric Spoelstra and his staff will keep a very close eye on him to make sure that he's not a detriment to the team.
Ira, with these fourth quarter letdowns, is it as easy as to just say, you know what, Philadelphia, the more talented team, they've got the two best players in the series, so of course they're grinding out these close games. Is it that simple?
Yeah, it is, and that's what worries me and you about tomorrow,
yeah,
is that if you say to me, Ira, what's the answer? Well, we've seen what the answer was in game two. It was an otherworldly performance, I mean, in his modern standards now, for Dwayne Wade. And I think tomorrow is going to have to be the same. But here's my problem, Alex, in this series. When I say to myself, who is the one Heat guy who's going to go absolutely off in this game and take over the game? Well, I don't know if Dwayne has another one in him.
Right.
Goran Dragic has been carrying the Heat through the first three quarters, and unfortunately his fourth quarters have not been nearly as potent. Justice Winslow, his best night is 18 or 19, so he's not giving me 30. It's almost like you miss a Dion Waiters. They don't have that explosive guy, and I'd like to say Hassan Whiteside, but here's what happens. If Hassan comes out and has 10-8 in the first quarter, okay?
Yeah.
And Hassan has 18-12 in the second quarter, the 76ers are going to change their lineups to the point where Hassan won't be able to stay on the floor simply to get him off the floor, because it's easier for them to take even Joel Embiid off the floor and put in Ilyasova and Bellinelli and take the game to perimeter and make it hard for Hassan than it is for the Heat to really work around Hassan's absence, and that's been a difference in the series. There needs to be a Hassan game just for our mental well-being in the offseason, that at least we can say, okay, the Heat wound up losing this game, but at least Hassan, this series, but at least that effort by Hassan in Game 5 at least gives us encouragement going forward. Right now, I don't see that.
Well, and Ira, how good has Brett Brown been coaching this series? Like, he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he does have the better players, but he's also tactically really made Hassan Whiteside irrelevant.
Yeah, I think Hassan has something to do with that also.
Well,
I mean, look, you know this. Great players don't become irrelevant. Great players find a way because that's who they are. The whole thing about Hassan Whiteside wanting to be an all-star, which means he would be one of the 15 best players in the Eastern Conference or all NBA, one of the 15 best in the NBA, he never was that. That's what he aspired to. That's what he thought he could accomplish with statistics. If he had a different personality, and maybe he does and I'm wrong, this could be a thing for a lot of players where when you look back 2, 3, 5 years later, they say, yeah, it was that playoff series in 2018 when they realized I had to change. It was that playoff series in 2018 when people were talking about me and I didn't like the way it felt. I just wonder if he has that comportment. I just wonder if he has that in him, that instead of brooding about the coach did me wrong and the team did me wrong and my teammates did me wrong, that he could sit at home and absolutely seize to the point where he then comes out next season and says, every single moment I play is because of that 2018 playoff series against the Sixers. If that happens, it won't be the worst thing. If he's still here.
If he's still here. Has your percentage changed? Because obviously he'd be very hard to trade given the contract and the fact that he plays.
No one is hard to trade in this league as long as you're willing to take someone else's quote-unquote hard to trade. Believe me, as soon as the season ends, if it ends, I'm not saying this, but if it ends Tuesday, I guarantee you by Wednesday they could trade him for Joakim Noah. Now, they're not going to trade him for Joakim Noah.
I'm good.
But my point being, there always is a deal to be made. The thing I've been floating is something maybe if Washington craps out against the Raptors worse than I thought they actually are winding up being in the series, and if you could take Gortat off their hands or they don't seem to be in love with and get one of their youngish pieces like a Kelly Oubre, I would do that. I would make a deal like that.
Yeah, me too.
Alex, I think, and I mentioned this to Big O today, if I could trade him for Carmelo Anthony, I would do it.
Ooh,
just because Carmelo has one
like
fewer season
on
his contract, so you can do that. But they have Steven Adams. They have a better Hassan Whiteside, so I don't see that. But believe me, Pat Riley has this board in his office with all the players on these metallic strips of what he can do, and Andy Ellisberg has all his numbers crunched as far as what works in a trade. I'd almost guarantee you that there are 10 permutations in play for the Heat right now if they wanted to, and that's the answer I don't have, trade us on Whiteside, deals they believe that they could make.
Ira Winterman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Ira, a lot of people texting in, they want me to ask you about how, and it's valid because some of these fourth quarter dunks and layups from Ben Simmons have looked way too easily. Should they be mugging that guy when he goes to the basket?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to be a system team, if you're saying that we are 15 equal guys and we don't have really a true all-star, God bless Gorn for getting in as a second or third alternate, that it has to be 5 men on a string. And that's what they said last season, at the end of last season. They finished 30-11. We do it together. We're all for one and one for all. And at those all-for-one moments in the series, everyone's on their own, running around, almost like with their heads cut off.
Yep.
So is that coaching, not to keep people together? Is that the fatigue of playing a good team, maybe a great team so close that it eventually wears down? But that's what the playoffs are. When you have no margin for error, the playoffs are 3 or 4 plays a game. We saw that in the 7-game series against Charlotte 2 years ago. We saw that in the 7-game series against Toronto 2 years ago. And yet the plays that they mostly made in that series with players they didn't think were as good as what they have right now, it's not working out that way. And at the moment of truth, that was the whole point of the season. At the moment of truth, can you trust James Johnson? At the moment of truth, can you trust Hassan Whiteside?
No.
At the moment of truth, can you trust whatever players they brought back last time?
No.
That's the concern, exactly, Alex, that at the moment of truth, if you can't, where was this thing headed? This entire Heat pyramid was built on faith. And you have to wonder where that faith is after some of those plays.
Ira, in the last segment, I went through some of the stats for Philadelphia that looked very ugly despite the victory. But on the Heat side, to only hit 13 of 25 free throws at home, inexcusable, right?
Yeah, again, but to me, that's not coaching. To me, that's not this is a bad team. To me, this is not weak players.
Well, but just how does it happen is what I'm wondering.
Okay, and you know what happens, Alex? Because 2, 3, 4 times a year, you're going to have a bad night from the foul line, and they pick the absolute worst time to do it.
Hmm.
Those were not pressure-filled free throws. There were 2 times in the first quarter where players went to the line and missed both. So that's four of your 12 misses right there. Those weren't pressure moments. Heck, the fans weren't even full by then. Those were just they missed free throws. So for people trying to read the bigger thing into it, they're not up to the moment, they're not good enough, they're poorly coached, they don't practice. No, they just had a moment. They've been a reasonable free throw shooting team all season. Hassan hasn't taken as many. That's helped them. He's improved in that deal. It was just, that's what I'm talking about. When you don't have a margin for error, the plays of the fourth quarter we just spoke about, the free throws we spoke about, James Johnson trying to go places on the court where there is no place to go, that's what we're talking about, the offensive rebounds that have been through four games nonstop against the Heat. That's what we're talking about. It is so hard in any sport. We've seen it with the Panthers and every other team. When you don't have any margin for error, it's very hard to endure and succeed. You steal a game here or there. You have a moment here or there. You can't win in sports with such a small margin of error.
Yeah, Ira, during the series, there's been a lot of justified talk about Hassan Whiteside's disappearing act. But what about Tyler Johnson, Ira? He's been missing in action as well.
Oh, and I said that at one of my Ask Iras at SunSentinel.com. I said, is that even the bigger story? I mean, Hassan's been giving you something. There's been some rebounds. He's had some moments, or at least he stepped out of the way. And people point to Tyler Johnson's thumb injury, but that was in the third game. So there were already two games like that. Tyler Johnson needs to be in attack mode. And I wrote this actually from one of my Ask Iras for tomorrow. He has to be relentless defensively up and on the ball. He has not been, whether it's been against J.J. Redick or their other guards. And he has to be in attack mode and not just settle for the outside shot. So there's something to me, it's almost more of a mental and mentality equation with Tyler, because that's what he is. Tyler Johnson's talent level never would have got anything close to 4 years at $50 million. But his relentlessness impressed us all. You know what, Alex? Are the Heat just simply mentally worn down of rolling that boulder up the hill after 2 years?
Wow.
When Pat Riley thought they could do it for 3 or 4 years, and you know what? Eventually that boulder's come downhill and is starting to crush them.
Jeez. So then where do we go from here, Ira? If that boulder is crushing this team, what kind of blockbuster trade or blockbuster signing can that look
that's
for?
What it's going to be this. That's what it's going to be this summer.
Yeah, it has to be.
You have three options in off seasons. You have the draft. The Heat don't have a draft pick in either round. That's out.
Yeah.
You have free agency. The Heat don't have a dime to spend beyond one mid-level exception. That's out. And then there's trades. We've seen Pat Riley be aggressive with money, whether it's going after the big three and getting them, trying for Hayward and Durant and not, and just spending it on anyone last summer. That's kind of cold. Spending it on guys that he had faith on in Waiters and Ellington and James Johnson and other pieces last summer. Now he's going to have to do it through trades. Now he's going to have to do it through what I'm calling higher math. And it is possible. And I got into a fight with Big O about this, but
uh-oh,
I think it's what you might have to do. His thought is you have Josh Richardson and Bam Adebayo and Justice Winslow, and you have some young pieces here, grow them. I'm like, that's not going to grow you anything, because I always say this about players. Can the player get you to the playoffs? I think all of those guys can. Are those players championship starting components?
No.
I don't think any of them will be. So if I could lose a contract, if someone's going to take James Johnson because I throw in Justice Winslow, I'm doing that. If someone's going to take Tyler Johnson because I'm throwing in Josh Richardson or Bam Adebayo, I might do that also, because I know people hate the process and starting all over again in Miami. But what the Heat have really nice, really good thing right now, I'm not talking about sponsors or anything. It's like those places when you buy one suit, you get another free, or you buy two, you get seven, or whatever it is. That's what the Heat have. They have extra suits to throw into the deal. They do have merchandise that's alluring enough. So you might not like the Italian cut on the Hassan Whiteside suit, but you know what? The accompanying Justice Winslow model kind of looks nice, and it makes it a better bargain. So I think the plus ones that the Heat can throw in trades, I think they can make deals and deal their way out of salary cap prison if they choose to go in that direction.
Last thing here for Ira Winterman, because you asked Dwayne Wade the question the other day. He didn't really give me an answer. But
no.
I mean, do you think that this very well could have been Dwayne Wade's final home game?
Well, obviously, the result tomorrow will tell us more about that.
Oh, sure. But just for argument's sake, and I hate to say that I'm going to get killed for this, but let's just assume for argument's sake the Heat lose tomorrow. Is that D-Wade's final home game?
Well, you know what, Donald? If you're going to get killed, I'm going to get in the foxhole in the bunker with you and
let's
say
do
this.
It.
Wow.
Should it even be Dwayne's decision for this reason? No, I want to add something to that.
Okay.
In other words, let's say Dwayne says he wants to come back for another season. He's had fun. He's at home. He'll take the minimum or they'll work out something with a mid-level or something. That's all well and good. But Deion Waiters is coming back next season from his ankle surgery, and he still has most of his $50 million deal on the books. Tyler Johnson is getting a fourfold pay increase next season. Rodney Magruder is returning with a really good value contract. Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson have emerged. Where would Dwayne fit in that kind of mix if you also go over the luxury tax and bring in Wayne Ellington? So, you know what? As tough as it was for Pat Riley to part the first time, if Dwayne starts talking publicly, oh, of course I'm coming back, I want to come back, I do wonder inside the Heat offices with the other pieces they have, is that the best way to go? Or are we going to have a whole season of players deferring like we have in every single fourth quarter of this series?
Like, for some strange reason, I would still trust Dwayne in the important games more than I trust any of those other guys. So I would want him here at the minimum.
But then how are you growing as a team? How are you ever going to find... I don't know if you're growing as a team with the pieces you mentioned.
I don't think you're growing no matter what.
But keep this in mind. Deion Waiters has yet to play in the most meaningful moments for the Heat. Remember, Alex, he missed, I think it was the last 9 games of last season when they finished 41-41 and just missed the playoffs.
Okay.
Now he's missed the entire playoff stretch run and the playoffs this time. Unless you learn whether Deion can be the man in those situations, you'll never know what his true value is going to be. So if you're going to say, no, Ira, I feel good, I'm going to hold Dwayne off for the last 5 minutes and tell Deion, hey, give the other guy, the all-time leading scorer, the ball, then what's Deion doing here in the first place?
Okay.
That's the thing. And you know what? And I think Deion has such respect and adulation and love for Dwayne that he would give up the rock. And he don't give up the rock too easily. So if he's going to give it up to Dwayne, you're going to lose that also. This is a more complex equation than, hey, let's keep the love fest going another year. Although, on the marketing side, if the Heat do take a step back, there's a lot worse things than being able to roll out number 3 every night at home games when it comes to selling tickets.
I love it. He is Ira Winderman. He is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. And follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, thank you so much. Enjoy Philadelphia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.